Well, as I was reading through the gospel lesson for today, there was so many things, just one topic after another that Jesus was going through. And so if I run with the themes in the second part of Matthew chapter 5 there, and I kind of think of myself in that, I've not murdered anyone. I've not been unfaithful to my wife with another person. I'm not divorced. I've not lied in court on a witness stand. I love my family and friends, so I guess I really am God's gift to the world, and God's gift to you as well. I've done pretty good when I look at that list. And then Jesus comes in with this spoiler alert and says, "But I tell you," and kind of ruins it. He says, "Hey, Jim, how about we take a look at your heart?" And that's a whole different story. And all I'm left with saying is, I need a Savior. Because Jesus demonstrates that all of these things taught about in this section are really matters of the heart. And as you'll say later in verse 48, "Be therefore as perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And that really seals it. I really need a Savior. See, what's the reality for all of us? See, in our hearts, I'm sorry to say, we have failed at every single one of those things mentioned in the passage. But see, Jesus wants us to see things differently. That's why he says, "But I tell you." You've heard it this way, you've thought of it this way, you've kind of gone along with it this way, but let me throw out some comparisons. And so Jesus compared the former laws for murder and offerings and adultery and divorce and oaths to the new standard about avoiding hatred and anger and keeping relationships right and being faithful to God and avoiding lust and living out marriage commitments and not speaking empty promises to God. And so while outwardly obeying laws are important and necessary to have an orderly world, it's a heart that's humble and obedient and filled with God's love that's essential to make his light shine in the world through us. So Jesus takes it from just outward acts and says, let's look at internal orientation, like, for example, like from murder to anger, from adultery to lust. You see, we can pat ourselves on the back for not committing murder. All at the same time, maybe we're ruining the reputation of a coworker because of the words that we share, or the things that we say, or the hatred that we hold. We can pat ourselves on the back for not committing adultery, and yet have a heart that's full of lust and impure thoughts. You see, the bottom line is Jesus helping us to realize that what he's requiring is beyond our power. We say, well, I'm not that, I can't be that, I am not that. But maybe it's only possible through the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. So the Holy Spirit, you know, is able to cultivate positive feelings and attitudes of love and understanding and helpfulness. And again, the more we connect ourselves to Christ and see our need for Christ and welcome Christ and hold on to Christ, that's where it comes from, as we grow in appreciation for what he did for each and every one of us on the cross. This past Friday was Valentine's Day, you know, the day that we celebrated the gift of love and the special relationships we have in our lives. And we come to realize again that love is this incredibly powerful thing. And oftentimes we hear the word love and we just always want to connect it with romance and romantic type of things, but it's so much greater than that. But rather it's the power of love to rise above the things that bring hurt to this world and hurt to relationships, to see things differently. Because there is a different way, there's a greater way. And what we're done is to look to Jesus, to see Jesus, and what his perfect love and what his kind of love can do and be. And how far superior that is. And God shows us what love can do. His love can do. And so it's a call, in a sense, to release love. To let that out. Because love is greater. And again, I'm talking about a love that goes beyond words and puts something into action that benefits others. And if we're to take the things Jesus mentioned and the thoughts behind what Paul was addressing, you know, how would we love, or how would love respond or react? How would it demonstrate itself as it encounters other things and people in life? Taking a few of these things that are mentioned, you know, love is greater than hatred and anger. Jesus said, you've heard that it was said, you shall not murder. And then he reveals that murder really is birthed in one's heart. It begins with anger. It begins with hatred. And it's an attitude that proceeds from a self-centeredness, so that when it's hurt, it desires revenge. It desires to hurt in return. And Paul writes in Romans, says, hey, love does no harm to its neighbor. You know, something starts within, and then it's not dealt with, and then it simmers. And Paul warns us what can happen if it allows to simmer. He says, that's why he says, don't let the sun go down in your anger. See, we can release love and not let our anger continue. We recognize for what it is and what we need to do to stop it. And love is greater than resentment, because Jesus knows that our relationship with those around us can have an effect on our relationship with God. He's saying, how can you continue to be at odds with someone and imagine that all of a sudden, hey, everything's cool with myself and God? That's why he says, deal with it. You know, seek reconciliation and be urgent about that. Because anger can become resentment, and resentment become bitterness, and bitterness can harden a heart, making it harder and harder to seek reconciliation, where you just say, I'm done, I'm through. No, I won't, I can't, it won't happen. But reconciliation is such a beautiful thing, because it seeks to rebuild relationships, seek forgiveness. I like the way one person put it. Forgiveness is not just something we do for others. It's something we do to get well and move on. See, we can release love in the ways we choose to respond to the actions of others and seek peace. And love is greater than lust. I mean, bottom line is, lust is selfish. It always seeks its own desire to gratify itself, not what's best for the other person or a relationship. One thing about love respects. It respects people. It seeks to build up and encourage the other, so it never causes someone else to compromise. And lust can affect both people who are married and those who are not married, because it's driven by feelings and emotions just to satisfy itself. It could lead other people who are married to be unfaithful and lead those who are not married to be swept away and to compromise themselves. Because true love sacrifices and true love serves, and so it would only do things that would benefit the other person. So love desires faithfulness. So we can release love by respecting and doing what would benefit another, and also honoring the sacredness of marriage. And love is greater than arrogance and pride. The church that Paul wrote his letter to was divided into all sorts of factions, and they were not unified because it was all about personalities. Or some people say, well, I'm aligned with this person. No, I'm aligned with that person. See, love seeks the benefit of the whole. It's not about everyone's own personal agendas. You know, it's my way and not your way, and this person says, no, it's my way, not your way. Love wants to seek to work in unity. And it comes from a humble heart. So we can release love by choosing just to listen. To listen to another point of view. And even if you don't even agree, you can still humbly listen. And the bottom line is, it's just release life. See, the Old Testament lesson for today beautifully kind of ties in with this. Because the world in which we live is literally determined by the choices we make. We have it within our power to control our environment and surroundings. So when we make choices, these choices, we determine something important not only for us, but also for those around us. So it impacts not only the way we live, but the way others live who follow us and live around us. I think it's shown in a couple little pictures here, illustrations. You can look at this particular illustration here, and this dam here is releasing water, and that water may go down to irrigate farms and land and bring life and water and resources to people. And it kind of is a picture that daily we are given the opportunity to release into this world Jesus, which is life, which is blessing and virtue and honesty and integrity and healing and restoration and redemption. It's releasing life. And I think, too, an example that I'm excited again this coming weekend, our confirmation class, we're going up to L.A. to serve with CSM Ministries, just to serve in the city, to come along some really neat ministries and opportunities. And again, through that to, in a sense, release love and to join Jesus in what he's doing. It's a very cool thing to be a part of. We can release life, or we can release waste, as this picture would show. See, we can turn our backs on the other option and basically say, hey, you know, I can release cursing. I can release, instead of blessing, death instead of life and all this. I can just allow, you know, another part of me just to come out, and that's what I release into the world. And sometimes it's not necessarily intentional where we purposely do that, but maybe by not doing the other thing, it just comes out. Our little connection, Project Connection booklets, got a brand new one, just came off the press. We haven't gotten them in the mail yet, but this one's great. It's entitled My Digital Voice, An Introduction to the Digital Conversation Pledge. As you know, there's all sorts of things that can be dumped out of people online and social media and the like. And this says here, at the end of this great booklet, says the Digital Conversation Pledge. Well, I will pay attention to my digital voice. I will lift others up. I will connect with new people, not just my friends. I will bless my enemies and not strike back at them. I will relate wisely with those who don't share my faith. Just the way, maybe taking a pledge saying, hey, this is how I want to project myself through social media, which is a very powerful platform. We can make choices with that too. In that passage in the Old Testament in verse 16, where it says, I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands. Because loving God is putting into practice his directions for how to live as his people. It expressed in walking in God's path. Every day, throughout the day, we choose which path we want to walk down. And the word sin in Hebrew means to walk on the wrong path or to go the wrong direction. But we can choose to say, you know what? I want to walk down Christ's path. And to walk that path is another way of saying, I want to choose life. So again, our prayer should be that we would release into the world blessing rather than cursing, that we would foster life rather than death. So again, we are given that opportunity each day to release into this world Jesus, which is life and blessing and virtue, and not turn our backs to that and offer the other thing. In a sense, it's the same thing as we've been saying, is joining Jesus on his mission. And I love this picture here, where just be a reason good gets loose. Be a reason good gets loose. As we look at this and we understand who we are, who we want to be, and maybe aren't all the times and things like that, there are some great promises that we can hold on to, because the greatest thing we can declare to ourselves and to others is that Jesus' love is greater than our failures and lack of faith. That's really good news. And that the cross is greater than our sin. That's really good news. And that his love is greater than our love. Because where we fall short, he definitely does not, and makes up the difference. So we can let his love love us and be the very power to help us declare his love through our lives. So as we leave here today, as we go into our life through the rest of the day and into our new week and our day tomorrow, I say, let's release love. As Christ has released his love into us, he gives us the very thing that we can release into the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you for what you have made known to us, that the your love which you have poured into us, your mercy and grace, your forgiveness which you have poured into us. May God, that be the thing that is released from our lives this week. We ask for your forgiveness for the pollution that we have released sometimes through our lives, through our words, through our actions, through our thoughts. And we thank you for your cleansing. But God, help us to keep our eyes on you and allow you to flow in us and through us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.